Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a comment concerning something that we say on the program, it doesn't matter whether it's favorable or unfavorable, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you, and you can do that very thing to contact us by the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In 30 minutes after this program goes off the air, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will come together for a period of Bible study. This will last for about a 45-minute period. After that, we will engage in our worship unto God by singing, praying, hearing the message from His Word, by being the first day of the week, to lay behind in store as we've been prospered as Christians, and to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of His death, burial, and resurrection. We urge you to come and to be with us, bring your Bibles, and observe the things said and done, and we want you to compare that with what the Bible teaches. Again, this evening at 5 o'clock, we will do the same. We will come together for a period of worship services. Also, we want to remind you that tonight at 8 o'clock, on this radio station, WBSA, both AM and FM, there is a live call-in program. You can call in a Bible question and receive a Bible answer for that question that you have. The program is called Bible Crossfire, and it's hosted by Patrick Donahue. He will give you his phone number, and you can call him, speak to him directly, and give him your Bible question, and in return expect that Bible answer. So this is an opportunity to have your question answered immediately, and certainly keep this program in mind on this radio station, WBSA, tonight at 8 o'clock. If you're unable to pick up this station, then if you have satellite radio capability, you can tune in to channel 131 on Sirius XM, and Bible Crossfire will take place on that channel at 8 o'clock tonight. And also keep in mind the Bible study at the East Abbotville Church of Christ on Wednesday night at 7:30. If you're completely unable to come and be with us in person at the services, then we want you to know that if you have internet access, you can log on to the church's website, www.eastalbertville.org. You can click on the live feed at either 9:30 Sunday morning, 5 o'clock Sunday evening, or 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, and you will be taken to both a video and audio live streaming of the Bible study or the worship period. Also, if you're on Facebook, you can see the Bible classes and the worship period. And also, if you go to the church's YouTube channel. So three ways by which you can be able to see and hear the Bible study and the worship period: through the church's website, through the YouTube channel, and through Facebook. So we urge you to take advantage and look and observe the opportunities that you have to see and hear the things that we believe in practice at the East Abbotville Church of Christ. I want us to begin our reading for the study this morning in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all of the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see here what Paul conveys concerning his purpose in him being a preacher of the gospel. It was to make known the mystery. We are familiar with the mystery. We see all sorts of television programs that deal with murder mysteries and things of that. And a mystery is just simply something that's hidden, something that's not known. But when all of the clues and the evidences is put together in these movies and television programs, then eventually the evidence is made known who the murderer is. So that's what we understand as a mystery, something not known. God had a mystery. He kept it secret from the foundation of the world up to the time that Christ came into this world. And now Paul is saying that that mystery, which had been not known in other ages, it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. That's what we read in verse 5. So when something is revealed, it is no longer a mystery. It's known, because that's what the purpose of revealing something is. It's to make known. So we no longer are in a time of mystery as to how God is going to accomplish the forgiveness of sin that mankind has committed. That mystery was a mystery, but now it is no longer a mystery. And Paul made the statement that it was revealed to him and the apostles and prophets. It was revealed to them, and he has written about it. And what verse 4 says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What's been revealed now, Paul says, I have written, and when you read, you can understand. And so it is that what this mystery was, is that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs, they would be of the same body, they would be partakers of the promise, but it would all be possible in Christ through the gospel. That's what verse 6 says. And so Paul said, I became a minister to do that. And I preach, he says, among the Gentiles, these unsearchable riches of Christ in verse 8. And then in verse 9, and this is what we want to focus our study on today. All of this that was a mystery that's now been revealed, of how God was going to unfold his plan to redeem, to save man from sin. He says, to make all see. So now verse 10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's plan to bring about the forgiveness of sin was something that God had in his mind, in his eternal purpose. It had been kept a secret. But now Christ has come. He has suffered. He's bled. He's died. He has ascended. And now the gospel, the good news, can be preached. And in the preaching of that good news, we see the multifaceted, the manifold wisdom of God being known by the church. So this is how God's plan that has now been revealed is manifested, that we can see his wisdom, and it's according to the eternal purpose. Not something that God came up with later. You know, there are those that believe that when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he came to establish a kingdom, but he failed. The Jews rejected him. And so instead, he had to lead the church as a substitute. Friends, the church was not a substitute. The church was in the eternal purpose of God. And God accomplished that eternal purpose, as verse 11 says, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God designed his eternal purpose to rescue men from their sins. His purpose, we know, is characterized by grace. And that can be best understood against the background of the darkness of sin, the offenses that are contrary to God, to both God and to man. God considers sin to be a personal offense against himself. And I believe this we can see in Paul's description of sin. Look with me over in Romans chapter 3, and let us begin reading at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jew and Greek that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none that seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have become together unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. So he declares that none is righteous. None is good. All are sinners. If we go to Romans 3, where we were, and drop on down to verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, man uses throat, tongues, lips, mouth, feet to do evil. They have no regard for peace, no reverence for God. His holiness is offended. His righteousness is assaulted. And God's law is ignored. So these are the persons that God offers to save, to rescue, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, that's the verse that we read for our study, Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. Those who are rescued in those verses are called the church. We know that Jesus had promised in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, Jesus said. And the book of Ephesians that we started our study with explains the church that Jesus built. It describes the church as being those who are saved according to God's purpose. If we look back to Ephesians and go to chapter 5, here's what we read in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The body and the church are one and the same. We know that from Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, where God has put all things under Christ's feet and has gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So now when we read here in Ephesians 5:23 that Christ is the head of the church and that he is the Savior of the body, That's the same thing as saying that Christ is the head of the body and he is the Savior of the church. The body and the church are one and the same. So we see then, being the same, the body and the church of Christ, of which he is the head, then he is the head of all things to the body. And we know what the head does. It gives life. It gives direction to every member of the body. That's true of our physical body. And that's what we need to also understand concerning the spiritual body of Christ, of which we are supposed to be members if we obey the gospel. He's filled the church with all of his fullness. And we know that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. He sanctified and cleansed it with the washing of water, making it both the object of his glory and the demonstration of his glory. While we're here in Ephesians 5, let's read verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And in that book, the book of Ephesians, is the church that he wrote to the church at Ephesus. Paul prays, and notice what he prays. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, let's begin reading with verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You see, all of these features explains to us the nature of the church, and it shows us its importance, and it clearly distinguishes it from any and all others which result when the purposes of men come into play. See, we've been studying in Ephesians 3 concerning the eternal purpose of God. But friends, what we see so much of in religion today is not the eternal purpose of God being shown, not the manifold wisdom of God being shown, but sad to say, it's been the purposes of men. The religious system of denominationalism results from human purposes rather than from God's purposes. Religious organizations, they're distinct, and they are therefore from not the church of God's eternal purpose. In fact, they're in competition with God's purpose. One denomination is neither better nor worse than the other denomination, because the entire concept of denominationalism is wrong. And it's wrong because it's not according to the eternal purpose of God, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, friends, the test, or I should say to test, the scripturalness of one's personal choice, the comparison should be made with God's eternal purpose, rather than with the people who benefit from it. Friends, the standard is the purpose rather than the people. All purposes can be corrupted. Even God's purpose can be corrupted. A denomination, according to Webster's definition, is the name of a group or class. And so in reference to the church of God's purpose, it's a group or a class that is distinct from the whole. And the attempt, so often that has actually occurred, to denominationalize God's purpose actually began in the early days of the church. For example, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what we read beginning with verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So what we see happening here in the church at Corinth is a division, and it's a division that has resulted over men. Well, when we look at the letter that was written to the churches of Galatia, notice what we find here in verse 1, beginning with verse 6. I'm sorry, chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. I marvel at your turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So what we see here in the churches of Galatia, there is a division that has occurred over another gospel, a perverted gospel. And then when we look at the books of 1st and 2nd John, for instance, in 2nd John 9, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Whoso abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and Son. If anyone comes unto you and brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So here in 1st and 2nd John, we see division over another source of teaching. So each of these books, Corinth, 1st Corinthians, Galatians, and 1st and 2nd John, they clearly speak against division and show very clearly that division is sinful. But you know, all down through the ages, the history of Christianity is filled with this repeating of error. Modern denominations, they're the fruit of men corrupting this eternal purpose of God. This error results when men refuse to confine their faith to God's purpose, when they fail to understand from what they read in God's inspired words. And even some well-intended brethren make a serious and a very similar mistake because they attempt to expose denominationalism by doing a comparison to the church. We know the church is the people. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved, Acts 2, verse 47. So the church is made up of people. The church is made up of saved people. So when we compare denominations to the church, we're comparing denominations to people. And we certainly should not compare denominations to people. We need to compare denominations to the purpose, to God's eternal purpose, rather than compare denominations to people or the church. Churches, if they're not careful, become bound to creeds when what the people believe is substituted as the standard for what is supposed to be the faith and not conforming to God's eternal purpose. And this mistaken concept, it comes from a misunderstanding of what Jesus intended to build when he promised in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." He was promising to complete and to execute God's eternal purpose. That's what we read there a moment ago in Ephesians 3 and verse 10, that it was the church was to manifest the wisdom of God. And we see that this eternal purpose God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this church that Jesus built, this building was to be established upon the rock. Because in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And so it was a commitment to save lost men. It was not to build a religious institution as a means of salvation, one which would make valid the faith and worship and holiness of those that wanted to become members of it. The truth of what the church is, as we said a moment ago, it's people that are saved through Jesus' promise to build his church. The rock, that is the foundation of salvation. One who could not save himself, and that's why it's not the rock being Peter, as some denominations want to have us to believe. The foundation of the church is not based upon a person, a man that cannot even save himself. The foundation of the church is built upon the rock, and that is the confession that Peter made when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the rock on which the church was built. Jesus built his church by bringing together in proper relationship every feature that was necessary for our salvation. And this truth identifies to us both the time when the church was built and the characteristics that distinguishes the church from all human purposes. Because the church that Jesus built is to manifest the wisdom of God, the eternal purpose of God. Mankind, they're influenced by the proclamation of the gospel of salvation. And mankind, who is so often casual and shallow about salvation, they're easily distracted from it by worldly affairs. And they'll not be influenced by God's purpose in Christ Jesus. But those that do have, an honest and good heart will be influenced to be saved through God's purpose. And friends, the duty of Christ's church is to bring God's purpose before the minds of you and me. The church is to manifest, is to show God's wisdom. That's why we have to go to the scriptures and have book, chapter, and verse for all that we do, for all that we believe, and for all that we practice. Otherwise, we're not the church that Jesus built, and we're not the church that is displaying God's wisdom. See, our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.